If y'all would, please turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter number 1. And while y'all are turning there, and while I'm getting situated here, I just want to thank Brother Chris for this opportunity to be able to preach. I do not take that lightly, nor do I ever want to take that lightly. So thank you, sir. And I also want to thank y'all as a church for y'all's prayer and love and support while I've been at Heartland training to go into full-time ministry. It is very much appreciated, and I thank each one of y'all for that. But we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll go down to verse number 11. Beginning in verse number 1 in Haggai 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, and to the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways, go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of their hands." So what is going on in this passage? Why is God going against Israel here? You see, if you'll notice with me, I think he answers that in verse 9 and 10. If you'll look back at that, he says, "He looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it home, I did blow upon it." Then he asked this rhetorical question, "Why, saith the Lord? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit." You see, when the people did not put the building of God's house before the building up of their own, God removed his hand blessing upon them. See, why did God blow upon all that the people did? Because they ran into their own houses while the Lord's was in waste. And they did not count God's presence and the building of the temple as important as their lives and their houses and building up their own lives. And I think we all understand this idea that God is omnipresent, meaning that God is everywhere at all times. But this temple at this time represented a very literal presence of God. It was a picture or representation of that. So by Israel saying, or Israel's telling God by their actions, "God, your presence in our life is not as important as us building our houses or as us pursuing our careers or us doing this. Your presence is just not that important." The same can apply to us. Now, obviously, we do not have a temple to build anymore, but let me ask you this question. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading doing in the mornings? Because you see, if we're getting our work done, and our schoolwork, and our personal needs and desires done, but we're not spending enough time in the Word of God, and we're not spending enough time in His presence, then you need to ask yourself if God is really a priority in your life. And if we're not doing that, how can we possibly expect His blessings to be upon us and other areas of our life as well? If you look at verses 1 through 11 that we just read, is the message of the Lord's rebuke. The Lord tells the people, if they want His blessings on their personal work, they must put Him first by building His temple. Look with me real quick at verse number 2, and you'll see Israel looking for a convenient time. It says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." I think it's important to understand the background of this passage and understand why Israel stopped building the temple to begin with. And we see that in Ezra chapter 4. You see, when the captives of Israel came back to the land of Israel, they were excited to get building the temple. They even started right away. They laid the foundations, they built the altar, they did everything that they were supposed to do, and they were excited to get back and serving the Lord. But then in chapter 4 of Ezra, there came opposition. And the local Arabs and the local Samaritans went to the king of Persia and told him, "Hey, if you allow these Jews to build this temple, they're not going to pay tribute, and they're going to rebel against you." So the Persian king gave him the authority to militarily stop them from building the temple. Now, while that may sound like a good reason to stop building the temple, I need to remind you that God's will was for them to still build it, regardless of the opposition, regardless of what was going to happen. And this passage that we read is 15 years later after that event, and they still haven't even tried to start building the temple up again. Now, just a quick application with that. Following God, reading your Bible, praying, and all those things is not going to come conveniently. It's something you have to make time for. And following God's will for your life is not going to be a convenient thing. It's not always going to be easy. And in fact, you may face opposition. And I realize here in America, we don't face persecution like those in the past. But need I remind you, there have been thousands of Christians throughout the centuries who've died for this word that we so often neglect. And even recently, I think of a story. There's a missionary to Iraq just last year. Him and his family were driving somewhere, and there was a car that pulled up in front of him and a car that pulled up behind him. The car in front of him, a gunman came out and shot the man, and I believe his name was Danny, and he died for this word. And I just say that to say that I shudder to think at how many times I have neglected to read the word of God that man died for. You know what I mean? That is so, it's so very important. And let me remind you, he went to Iraq, not out of convenience, but because God was the number one place in his life and because he counted it important and above all else. And then I find it funny how the nation of Israel, they never found time to build a temple, yet they found plenty of time to build their own houses. If you'll look at verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." That word sealed houses is referring to a luxury or an add-on. It wasn't necessary for the house to stand, but rather they were just building it up to luxury. So what God is trying to indicate here is he's saying, you have plenty of time for your own houses, but mine is lying waste. There's an issue with priority there. Another thing I want you to notice is how without God, everything will come to nothing. If you'll notice verse 5 through 6, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes." Friends, don't be surprised if you put off the things of God for a more convenient time, for another time, if the other areas of your life tend to be going nowhere, and even God may be working against you. I think in my own life at Heartland, I have a lot of schoolwork to do. And there's been plenty of times when maybe I woke up a little bit late and I wasn't able to get my Bible reading done like I was supposed to, and I had projects due the next day, and I had this temptation and this choice to make. Do I read my Bible? Do I pray? Do I spend time with God like I know I need to? Or do I put it off for a convenient season and use that abundance of time to do schoolwork? And here's the thing. Every time I make that choice to push off my Bible reading, somehow, even with the abundance of time, I still don't get it done. I don't know how that works, but it just does. I like how Matthew Henry said it. He said this, "And that poverty, which they," referring to Israel, "thought to prevent by not building the temple of God, God brought it upon them for not building it." And again, it all boils down to wrong priorities. We talked about this before at the beginning, but God is cursing the people of Israel because they put their own lives and desires before that of God's presence and glory in their lives. Let me ask you this question. Who is really at the center of your life? Is it you? Is it your family? Is it your career or even your needs? Or is God truly at the center of your life? Because here's the deal. If you're able to skip church for some sporting event or just sleep in, or you're skipping your Bible reading day after day, maybe even week after week, then I have to question if God is truly at the center of your life. And he needs to be. That he is the number one most important thing for us. And then moving on, verses 12 through 15, we're not going to read that, but if you were to read that, you'll see a revival happen in Israel. And God's word of encouragement. "After the people heard the words of the Lord, they obeyed them and began working on the temple. Then God encouraged them, saying that he was with them." Folks, if you're here today and you feel like something in your walk with God is just not right, things are not going the right way, maybe even just you're unsuccessful in your daily activities, it may very well be that God has not been at the center of your life the way he so desires to and the way that he needs to be. Again, Matthew Henry, he said this as well. He said, "Note, as those who seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness thereof shall not only find them, but are more likely to have other things added to them. So also those who neglect and postpone those things will not only lose them, but will justly have other things taken from them. And if God crosses in our temporal affairs and we meet trouble and disappointment, we shall find this to be the cause of it. The work we have to do for God in our own souls is left undone, and we seek our own things more than the things of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you here today, please spend time with the Lord and make him the number one priority in your life. And yes, that applies to Bible reading, but that also applies to just following his will for your life. Maybe God's revealed something to you and you haven't yet done it. May I encourage you, please follow God's will. Follow what he wants you to do. Place him as the number one priority in your life, and I promise you, you will not regret it. And if you do, his presence will come straight back into your life. If you'll notice with me, look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord." Now notice this. I love this. He says, "Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." It didn't take him weeks. It didn't take him years to get back to him. As soon as Israel came to God's presence, as soon as they started building the temple and doing what God wanted them to do, God immediately came back with his presence and immediately started blessing them again. So I encourage you here today, you may be tempted. Maybe you're here today and you think, you know, I've taken account of my life and I have not had God at the priority of my life. He is not where he needs to be. And you may be tempted to think, well, God loves me less, or God's against me, or God hates me, or God is not for me. And need I remind you that it could not be further from the truth. God does love you, and in fact, that's why he brings these curses to Israel. He's not angry with Israel. He's going against them because he's calling them back. He's saying, I love you, and I need you. I need you to build this temple. I need you to bring my presence back into your life. He's not against us. He wants us. That is why he is telling us, please, put me first. Read your Bibles, pray, and go to church and do the things of God that he needs you to do. And I promise you, if you'll do that, his presence will immediately come back into your life. I close with this one statement. I know it's pretty short, but this one statement: spend time with the Lord and he will be with you, saith the Lord. If y'all will go ahead and pray with me, I'll close this in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for today, and thank you for this message and how you've laid it upon my heart. And even if it speaks to no one else, God, it definitely spoke to me and my need to put you first in my life and to spend more time with you, dear Lord. And I just pray that you would help us each to apply that, and that we'll remember, dear God, who's number one importance and whose our life is for your glory and not for our own, dear Lord. And I ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.